Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going to talk some Bulls and draft here and how if you're pro Michael Porter, I think you got to be pro Trae Young also. See if we follow my logic on this one. The conversation will be brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. They're making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Those are discussions we've had and will continue to have up until the draft when we make the decision. And there's something to be said for that. You know, if you go out and take a chance on someone, but you know that also can be a decision that sets your franchise back. We understand this decision is a big one for the franchise. We want to get somebody that fits us in a lot of ways on the basketball floor, the character issue, which is important to us. You know, we'll continue for over the next month to, you know, to weigh all these things and make the decision on draft night based on who's available.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That's John Paxson with us on the McNeil and Parkin Show. The Hour on the Score brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the North Aurora Auto Mall. And the audio there brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma. Get knowing. Love that Tanny brought us back with that cut from Pax on my question. And when you talked, you said, hey, Pax, Parkins just wants Porter.
Mm-hmm.
And him and I then had a conversation about what his risk tolerance was for the pick. And it's weird because like the Bulls just played an 82-game season, and the offseason is such a bigger deal than the regular season. Because they're one
again.
Yes, and the NBA offseason can be crazy and chaotic and fun, and since only a few teams have a realistic shot at winning a title, like this is the part that really matters for the Bulls, the team-building side of it. They've got the 7th pick in the draft, they've got another first-round pick, and they're one of 7 or 8 teams in the league that have enough cap space to offer out at least one max contract this year. So they're in good cap position. So it's a huge offseason for John Paxson and Gar Forman. And the 7th pick is where I think they need a star. And I have said the argument there is I don't know if they have the best player on a title team, so I'm willing for them to take a big swing.
Even if a player is injury riddled.
Right. And that's the case with Michael Porter. And so the thought process there is go get a star, have a higher risk tolerance, and if he busts, it's fine. You don't have a championship core anyway. Well, it's not fine. It's not ideal. But Mikal Bridges, if he's just going to be a 3-and-D guy and not a star, does that get you into the second round of the Eastern Conference in a couple years? Maybe it doesn't change your ceiling all that much. I'm wondering when I see these mock drafts going around about Trae Young to the Bulls and the Bulls having a heightened interest in Trae Young. He could not be more of a different player than Michael Porter Jr. One is 6'10", 6'11". Mm-hmm. The other is a shade over 6 feet. One is versatile, Mr. Everything. The other guy is pure shooter, maybe the next Steph Curry if he hits a ceiling. Like they're very different ball players. But I wonder, like Trae Young, they say he's going to be bad defensively. He's smaller than Steph Curry. He might just bust because he can't guard anybody in the NBA. And being the next Steph Curry is really tough when there's only been one Steph Curry in the history of the damn league. So my question, here's the question. If you like the logic on Porter, really high ceiling, but really risky because of health and injury, and he could bust. If Porter was off the board at 7, should I not just apply the same logic to the next guy up and say, Trae Young is the guy that could be available that has the next highest ceiling, even if he would bust, not for injury reasons, but for defensive reasons or height reasons or whatever the case may be.
Sure. If it's get really, really good or bust, that's exactly what you have to do. And it's, you know, according to the drafts that I've looked at, and I've got one in front of me right here, you're not going to get a shot at Michael Porter Jr. anyway. He's likely, according to, who is this cat from CBS? Kyle Boone. Are you familiar with the NBA stylings of Kyle Boone?
I'm not, okay. But I'm glad that you are. Did you Google mock draft?
Yeah. He has the underclassman from Missouri going to Memphis at number 4. And he's got the Bulls taking Colin Sexton, a point guard out of Alabama, because the Bulls, he writes, are not enamored with Chris Dunn nor Cameron Payne.
Yeah, come on, Tanner.
Roll damn
tide. I saw him go for it. So that would speak to my not being as high on Chris Dunn as everybody else and going out and getting a point guard. Colin Sexton would feel to me like a reach there based on collegiate production, but a very good college player. But I'm just interested in this idea of if people are okay with swinging for the fences. Because the Porter thing that you mentioned is interesting, like that you're not going to have a shot at him. If Porter works out well and is healthy, the Bulls won't have a shot at him because he'll be a top 5 pick. So the argument would then be, if he was available at 7, he's available at 7 for a reason, and you don't want to take him at 7.
This guy's also got Trae Young being off the board when the Bulls pick. He has Orlando taking him at number 6.
Interesting. Because I had Ayton, Doncic, Bagley, Jackson, Porter, and Mo Bamba as the 6 guys that I would think would go in front of the Bulls.
Yeah, he's got Ayton, Bagley, Doncic, Porter, Jackson, and Trae Young.
So he has Mo Bamba being on the board for the Bulls and then taking Sexton. Okay, interesting.
That's what Kyle Boone's thinking.
Well, I mean, who am I to disagree with Kyle Boone?
Hey, you got a byline on CBSSports.com. He must be good.
Man, what do I got? That's interesting to me. Like, I think I want ceiling. So Mo Bamba as a ready-made Rudy Gobert-style rim protector who also is working with famed trainers on adding an outside shot, that guy sounds to me like he has a really high ceiling. So my point is basically this. It's kind of immaterial as to who the player is if you buy the logic that they should go for highest ceiling available at 7.
Yeah, at 7, feel free to go ahead and gamble a little bit if somebody has potentially a high upside but is a bit of a risk for whatever reason. You cited injuries or defensive liabilities, so what?
Yeah, and so like that would put to me like Mikal Bridges, Wendell Carter, Colin Sexton, guys like that, where I feel like, all right, those guys are going to be pros, but I'll be floored if any of them make all-star teams.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bamba, Trae Young, or Michael Porter, there's such a wide variance. Like, put me in the camp with the variance guys as opposed to the high-floor role-player types.
Okay, I'm none surprised by that. Not ever having had many conversations with you about basketball, that's just kind of your nature in general.
It is. Shep, how does that logic strike you as a closer observer of the Bulls than Mac?
Well, it makes sense. It was like, how have the Rockets constructed their team? How have the Warriors constructed theirs? You acquire as many top talent players, and you make it work, regardless of position, and you get talent and try to build it that way. That's why the Rockets came within a game of knocking off the Warriors this year. It's why the Warriors have won 3 of the 4 last NBA titles. Like, with that, though, the Bulls, how much would they be admitting that Chris Dunn's pretty much, all right, put him on the trade block, not really a part of this plan, when he wasn't the number one piece that came back from the Butler deal, but he was a huge piece that came back from a Butler deal? What would that say about that, I guess, is my interpretation of it a year later?
Well, I mean, it would say,
worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. And he was one of 3 pieces, right? We didn't know at the time what the most valuable piece of the Butler trade was going to be. Was it going to be the draft pick, LaVine, or Dunn? We didn't know.
Well, I mean, in LaVine, you might get coaxed into signing him to a bigger deal than you anticipated for production that simply wasn't there season ago.
I guess my point is, so far it seems like it's clearly going to be Markkanen. And at the time of the trade, we would not have said that it would have been Markkanen. So that it can change. So my point is this: like, if they sign LaVine, which they will, we don't know how much, but they're going to sign him. They're going to match an offer if another team makes it, or they'll make their own. And Markkanen ends up being the biggest piece, and LaVine ends up being a high-priced scoring wing, and Dunn ends up being a backup point guard who plays 25 minutes a night and he plays good defense and he's in your like defensive lineup that closes games because you need a good defensive player. That's not a bad return in the trade if he ends up being the third most valuable piece. Like, I think Chris Dunn is an NBA player, clearly. I just don't think he's the... I hope so.
I mean, he's a top five pick.
Go back and look at the Bulls' history of top five picks. It is about 50% clip of whether or not you would qualify those guys as NBA players.
And it's disturbing to learn recently the Bulls are very unhappy with what he's done with himself this offseason. He's not working hard.
Right. According to Joe Colley's report, which might have been the Bulls just leaking something to get a fire under his ass. We don't know. Like, it's not like
why would they want to light a fire under his ass?
Is it lighting a fire under his ass?
Because they're unhappy with what he's given them, I would think. They wouldn't do that if he was putting in all of the necessary work.
No, I know, but there's two different outcomes, right? Is it to light the fire because they just think, hey, he needs a little bit of a kickstart to his offseason, we'll throw Joe Colley a story? Or is it, we're so upset with this that we're actually going to draft Colin Sexton? Like, we're actually going to use the 7th pick on a point guard when we just traded for a guy who, as Shep says, is a former top 5 pick 2 years into the league as a point guard.
Or could it be that they go to Dunn and say, hey, we got to play the draft game with all this, and we got to make other teams wonder what we're going to do. We're going to float some stuff out there. There's going to be some rumors out there, some stories about you, about your work ethic. We're not actually worried about it. We're going to plant this out there to make other people think that we're taking a point guard to this coming draft.
I suppose that's possible. It's a pretty personal insult to throw out there.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, Jeff.
I love it. I like it, actually. It's a good conspiracy theory.
I mean, it has us talking about them taking a point guard, which seemed very unrealistic not that long ago. And now it's kind of like, oh, yeah, maybe that point guard thing does make a lot more sense. I don't know, just a little gamesmanship.
I'm just surprised how everyone in the draft community, like, people are real down on Trae Young, and I realize the defensive problems and the height problems. I totally get it. But if he can shoot like he showed that he can shoot, like, so put in Trae Young and LaVine in the same backcourt is obviously a huge defensive problem, right? Those guys cannot guard. On the other end of the floor, like, thinking positively for a second, which I know a lot of Bulls fans recently are not very conditioned to do, but in theory, you could have three guys who shoot 40% from three in Markkanen, LaVine, and Trae Young. That's what the NBA is doing. That's what Houston was. That's what Golden State
was. That's all Houston was.
Yeah.
Even when they missed 27 consecutive threes, they still didn't go to the basket.
Like, we have to at least be open to the possibility that Trae Young could be a good basketball player. It has to be at least...
Yes, it's a possibility.
You know what I mean?
And because of Steph Curry, you don't worry about his body as much as you might have 10 years ago.
Right, and just the way the game is played. Now, I don't know. Like, I'm not working him out. I don't know his athleticism. I know they're saying he's not testing out as well as Steph Curry did coming out of Davidson in terms of some of the agility and the extra level of athleticism, and he's an inch or two shorter. Like, those are all things to factor in. I love Trae Young at the beginning of the season, like everybody did, and then everyone saw what happened to him with Oklahoma when he was getting double and triple teamed, and he looked very mortal the second half of the college basketball season. But the guy can extend the floor out 30 feet on threes. That's a valuable thing in the
NBA. No doubt.
And I think LaVine's going to be a scorer for him. The guy's got a, 38% three-point season already under his belt and next-level athleticism once he comes back from the ACL fully, which he should be next year. Like, I'm not writing him off yet, but I want to discuss the idea of risk tolerance on this show. Because you, Shep, it sounds like if Porter isn't there, you would say go to Bridges or Carter or just next man up on the board.
I'm not as sold on, I guess, the ceiling of Trae Young. Like, I get when you hear Steph Curry, because he can shoot from forever out, I guess it's automatic and you think Steph Curry because he's the prime example of it in the NBA right now, was taken hell, the same exact pick number, 8 years ago now when he was drafted. So, like, I guess I'm just not sold that his ceiling is as high as maybe you lead on to think with Trae Young. I'm fully on board with it because what they've done for years and years now, outside of Markkanen, who's the last time that they went high ceiling, not high floor guy? Probably Tyrus Thomas. They went years and years going safe route, safe route, safe route with these picks.
I mean, you could argue Markkanen.
Well, that's what I was saying. Outside of Markkanen.
My bad.
Besides that, Like, who's the last one? Thomas would probably be that.
Yeah.
And that bit him in the ass because they traded LaMarcus Aldridge that night, and they went with safe pick, safe pick, safe pick. And it worked to a degree, but they never had the talent that was going to win an NBA championship, even with a healthy Derrick Rose, when they were handed the number one, when they lucked into the number one pick.
No question. Like, you need stars. You need three stars in the NBA to win a title. I mean, it's been proven. When LeBron was able to do it, he had Love and Kyrie. The Warriors have four stars. You need top five players in the league, at least one, to win a title, and then you need two other top 25 guys in the league. Like, that's how you win titles in the modern NBA. And I don't know that Markkanen can ever be a top five player. So swing for the fences.
I don't either, and I was glad to hear I'm not alone in the assessment of Markkanen needing to put on a lot of weight, a lot of muscle. John Paxson told us that a few weeks ago. I was surprised he was that forthright about it.
I agree. We got a fun game for you coming up at 4 o'clock.
I like games. Yeah. I also want to cast a movie, a sequel. A sequel to a sequel.
Sequel to a sequel?
I need your help before I get on the phone with Seth.
All right, and we got some audio from the respective parades that are going on today.
I love a parade.
Who doesn't? It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, Mac. What are we doing? What are we casting?
Slapping a bass. I saw Deadpool 2 over the weekend. Sunday, I took my man cubs. All three of them accepted my invitation. They said they were down, and I said, how outstanding is that? So we saw Deadpool 2, and Ryan Reynolds, he is Deadpool. He has found his niche, and I suspect we'll continue with that franchise, now that this one, not as successful as the first, certainly very well received by most, and he's already laying the groundwork in the film in 2, 4, 3. So I started to think, what else can be encored? What can we do for a second or a third time?
Yeah.
And I've mentioned to you there already has been conversation, but as of yet, no production date has been set. No script has been unearthed for Ted 3. But I want us to come up with some ideas for Ted 3, and then once we've dialed in on the appropriate product, I'll get in touch with Seth MacFarlane, who wrote it and produced it and stars as Ted, and we'll see if he can buy some of our ideas.
Wow. First of all, a tremendous name drop by you if you actually can get in touch with Seth MacFarlane. Do you know Seth like you know Dan Patrick?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
You never lent him your wife?
Never loaned him a wife. No, I don't. But I'm so hoping they continue the franchise because
agreed.
I thought Ted 2 lived up. And what made it, for me, were some interesting cameos by some very big stars, like Liam Neeson.
Yes.
Like Tom Brady.
Correct.
Who else?
Flash Gordon.
The Flash. Yes, Flash Gordon, who they went to the party with.
Sam Jones. Yeah, he was in the first one as well.
Yes.
Also in 2... Why am I blanking on the actor's name who played Serrano in Major League? Dennis Haysbert. Dennis Haysbert was in
Dennis
it.
Morgan Freeman obviously has a role as
the
attorney.
So we got to find some big names, and I think it's important also, unless you know, Ted and John are traveling somewhere, we're going to keep them in Boston, right?
Yeah, I assume so. They play home games.
We're going to keep them in Boston, and we have to make some big decisions. Are Ted and Tammy Lynn still together? And did John Bennett continue his relationship with the attorney who represented Ted in his civil rights case, played by Amanda Seyfried? Is that how you pronounce her name?
I don't know if it's how you pronounce it, but yeah, she replaced Mila Kunis off the original as the love interest for Wahlberg.
And she had, you know, and she didn't know that she looked like Gollum, and that was very funny.
A running joke.
So
in the movie,
I'm wondering if we find somebody who's, you know, got a little bit of that, some sort of, you can make fun of her in for John's next girlfriend, or were you content with her Amanda?
I thought she was good. I thought it worked, and I think it was a little weird that they switched it because I'm a big Mila fan. like I think many of us are.
Yeah, who isn't?
Yeah, so I was a little disappointed, but I thought she did a nice job.
She sells the wrong whiskey, but I'm not going to hold that against her.
No, that's nice of you. So, listen, if we want to just change the love interest for Wahlberg every time, I think that works. I'm interested in your cameo angle, but also what are they doing? Like, what's the mission? Because that's the plot.
I have an answer for that, my friend.
That's the hardest, because people will sign up for cameos as long as you're willing to pay their freight. And then a love interest for Mark Wahlberg, that can't be too tough to cast. But so the first Ted, right, is they're freeing him. He's kidnapped from the guy who's obsessed with the doll. And then the second one is he wants to actually be a person.
Giovanni Ribisi, yes.
Okay. So what is Dan McNeil's? Because this is the Hollywood has run out of ideas.
Jeremy Renner is a disgruntled shopper after Ted gets his job back at the grocery store. Jeremy Renner starts some crap in the store.
Oh,
I got to get Jeremy Renner in the next Ted. and for the local flavor, because Tom Brady doing what he did, even though they didn't get his sample,
yes,
for a baby,
correct.
That
he had
added,
majestic.
Yeah. So
you know.
I'm thinking the greatest rock band for me in American history comes from Boston and get Steven Tyler and Joe Perry of Aerosmith involved somehow.
Oh, wow.
We got to work them into this.
I like, okay. That's not bad. That's not a bad cameo. What if you got off of, you know, the fame of what Brady did and the acting chops? Go in the Patriots realm, and you were able to get Belichick to play the straight man.
I don't know if that would ever be something he would do, though.
Why not? Like, late in his life?
You would think that, but it's probably... What about his personality leads
Nothing.
You to believe he'd ever take on something like that?
But that's why it would kill as a cameo, if you had Belichick...
Well, especially straight. Like, Liam Neeson played... He played Liam Neeson.
Right.
Asking about a box of tricks.
Like, if you had...
Is that enforced by law?
Tricks are for kids. Like, what if you had Belichick... Check playing the straight man opposite Ted. Or
okay,
what about Gronk? Gronk spikes
Gronk
the teddy
would,
bear.
Yes, Gronk would work in this. Gronk is dopey enough where, you know, you could get him involved for a very, very reasonable fee, I would think. He'd want to do this.
Yeah, like they're partying with Flash
yeah.
Gordon, and there's amphetamine, all sorts of things going around, and then Gronk spikes Ted, the
Yo
teddy
soy
bear.
Soy fiesta.
Yeah, exactly.
Texter is suggesting Alexandra Daddario as John Bennett's new love interest.
That is a...
That works.
That works for all of us.
Amy Adams works for me because I'd like to see her do more goofy things.
I was going to say, isn't she too big of a star?
Yes, but so is Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, but that's a small role, and that's all Morgan.
Well, we don't have to give her a gigantic role.
She could do a more exaggerated accent than she did in The Fighter.
Yes. Mac did not see that movie, but you're right. That
yeah,
was
take the Boston accent up from 8 to about 10, and we'll have a role for you.
That was turned up quite a bit. All right, so we're trying to cast Ted 3 and come up with the plot for it. I find the plot to be the toughest part. So Jeremy Renner's in the store. He's a disgruntled employee over what? What did Ted do to make Jeremy Renner disgruntled?
I don't have all of that just yet.
Is this going
to be a scene in what is the name of the store he worked at? Oh, why am I not pulling that?
Because you have next level Ted 2 knowledge.
Bay Colony Foods. That's the name of the store.
Wow. Okay. Very impressive.
I know. And I got Tammy Lynn is who Ted wants to marry, and he marries her, and then the state says it doesn't exist, it's annulled because you're not a person, and then they get that reversed at the end. So they're going to stay together. Ted and Tammy Lynn will stay together, and we need Tammy Lynn's mother to be involved in Ted 3, and I've got Allison Janney cast as Tammy Lynn's white trash mother.
Wow.
Because she does white trash real well. Did you see it, Itanya?
I did not.
She's perfect.
Oh, okay.
She's perfect as a Marlboro chain smoking angry trailer park mom.
So you don't think that we're typecasting her if she's already played that role?
She's done some other things where she hasn't been.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I like it. All right. This is brilliant. The texters are saying, so someone suggested, what about if Ted and John go to Amsterdam? We saw that in Hangover. Was it 2 or 3? Where they went to Thailand.
I've been thinking about a road trip. That's why I started by asking if we're keeping them in Boston.
Well, so what about John, he gets a more serious job after all of the hijinks. So instead of working at the rental car agency, he now works at the airline.
He's making $38,000 in a rental car company, and he's 40.
Now he works at an airline, so he's taking a step up from rental cars to the airline, so he gets free travel.
Oh!
He gets a companion pass, and he upsets his love interest because his plus one is Ted.
He's bringing Ted to Chicago for the World Series.
For a Red Sox Cubs World Series.
A Red Sox Cubs series.
And Theo is in.
He might be.
He might be.
Fallon did it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't he on the field making a movie as the Red Sox won the series in 0-4?
That is correct.
Fever pitch.
Yeah.
Wait, he was actually on the field?
Yes.
I thought that was all edited.
No.
That was real?
That was real. Yeah, the Red Sox.
Oh,
the Red Sox.
Yeah, the Red Sox actually won. They broke the curse.
It's hard to imagine.
Real life.
You mean to tell me that? No, I always thought that when I saw that movie that was dubbed in later.
Yeah,
I didn't think
you.
For a second that Jimmy Fallon was actually on the field. Like, if I'm a Red Sox player, get the hell off the field, Jimmy Fallon. Take your bum ass movie and get out of here.
Wow, Shep doesn't like any fun in his sports.
None of it.
He's got an axe to Jimmy grind Fallon's, with a high school athlete. Later,
Jimmy
too.
Fallon's not fun. Like, that's another part to add to the equation.
A lot of people would disagree with you. I happen to agree with you. But
like Jimmy
I don't
Fallon,
love
when
him, but
when
I,
he sings with Justin Timberlake, I can get down with that. When Jimmy Fallon's sitting there and laughing and stuttering through an interview and being awkward as hell.
Yeah, interviewing
I'm
is
good.
Not his strength.
No celebrities on Shep's manly dog pile.
Get out. Get out of here. Give me more Doug Mankiewicz, damn it.
The sanctity of the Red Sox with fever pitch. By the way, Shep, listen to people tell stories of the SNL 40 party. Apparently Jimmy Fallon killed it. All those people in the room, and he was the MC of the entire thing. But so you made the trip come to Chicago. What about the texter suggestion if they go to Amsterdam? I'm going to Amsterdam this summer. Let's go. Let's bring
Ted with you.
Let's bring Ted. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Periscope it.
Shep, you know the story of Ted is real, don't you? That this little boy named John Bennett in suburban Boston wished for him to come to life, and he did, right?
Yeah,
you know that's
I mean, it
real.
Seems real to me.
Real, it's a real take. It's a real story. It happened.
Okay, just making sure.
Except he has no penis.
It's true.
He's been complaining to Hasbro about that for years. I love that.
I told you.
So how are they supposed to have children then?
That's why they went to Tom Brady's house to try to do something to him in the middle of the night that he wasn't
Ted,
going to know.
Come on, Shep. Modern medicine. Let's not be ridiculous here.
I saw Ted 1. I didn't see Ted 2.
You didn't see Ted 2?
No. Ted 1 was great, though.
It was. Well, for this show's purposes, I think, you know, support the team.
Dive into Ted 2 here.
Yeah. You got to dive in all the way.
I thought as far as sequels go, and again, the bar isn't very high, but I thought Ted 2 delivered in a huge way.
No question. No question. It was not as good of a movie as Ted 1. But
nor did we need it to be.
No. You just wanted the comedy sequels, if you laugh at them
mm-hmm.
and don't hate yourself for watching because it's just
right.
too absurd.
It wasn't Anchorman 2.
It wasn't Hangover 2. I mean, it wasn't Dumb and Dumber 2. Most comedy sequels are atrocious. I'm glad that you said Deadpool 2 is good, too. That makes me excited.
It's good. You know, a similar conversation. It's not the first one, but it's very, very good. Here's an idea from a texter. If Ted comes to Chicago, he can get into a fight with Clark.
Oh. Get into a fight with Clark.
For those of you White Sox fans, Clark is the Cubs mascot.
For those of you just tuning in, we are totally sober, and we are casting the unmade Ted 3. So far, what do we have, Mac?
Just ideas.
Okay.
That's how these things start. You sit down with legal pads and you just throw things at the wall and maybe something sticks.
Okay. Nothing too firm.
I want Jeremy Renner. I want Allison Janney to have a piece of this.
Yep.
I'm not sure if I want to stick with Amanda Seyfried.
Doesn't matter.
That's her name.
Yeah. I mean, it matters to her. But
as Mark Wahlberg's love interest.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we're going to keep it in Boston. We have to decide on where we're traveling this thing to, because you're right, the Cubs, there is a history of the vice president of operations greenlighting a movie to shoot during his World Series game.
I think that works. I think that works. Shep?
I'm just thinking to myself, you know what would have made 2016 more magical as a Cubs fan? If Jimmy Fallon was on the field celebrating with Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo after
Bill
the
Murray
Cubs
basically
won.
Was.
Yeah, I was going to say. Bill Murray was in the clubhouse spraying champagne. You said if Stephen Colbert was out there doing something for the late show, that would have been a huge problem. It's fine. I was saying get Seth MacFarlane on the phone.
Shepard's the entertainment right business.
Yeah. You take your sports very seriously. I like that about you.
Well,
unless you're holding a sign.
Yeah, unless I'm holding a sign, then I'm out there for the fun and the giggles and the mean tweets and everything else that comes our way.
You want to let Shep tee off on some high school kids?
I think Shep needs a couch today.
Okay.
He's all pent up with, I don't know what it is, but he's got some anger he needs to unleash.
And then we will go through your best text line suggestions for TED 2. This riveting conversation, and I don't even mean that to be sarcastic. We accomplished a lot here. No, I loved it. I'm going to go home and watch TED 2 tonight. It was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Yeah, I got to get to your TED 2 levels. We're McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Absolutely. No, it's very serious. This is a very serious, topic.
Tom Brady, Mac. You know him as Mr. Serious.
Yeah, he's Mr. Serious until somebody presents him with a script for a film. They say, all right, Tom, here's what we're going to do. As we hear the music from your favorite Boston-based gangster movie, The Departed. Tom, we're going to have a guy who's married to a pot-smoking teddy bear who can't impregnate his legal wife, and they love you, they're Boston kids, even though they're kind of adults, to get the necessary
specimen,
thank you.
You're welcome.
They're going to break into your house in the middle of the night and service you into a red Solo cup to have a super baby. Correct. Okay, cool. Sign me up for that.
Which Chicago athlete most likely to accept a similar role? Schwarber? It's got to be.
Rizzo.
Yeah.
Like fun-loving.
I mean, he's like...
I'm going Yolmer Sanchez.
Yolmer Sanchez, yeah.
Well, he... No.
Rizzo's pretty mainstream. What did you just do? You just backed away from the mic.
He edited himself.
I dumped myself before the dump button had to be hit.
All right, good job by you. So why
Sandy
do you hate...
He shot me a look, like...
Why do you hate high school kids?
I don't hate high school kids. I love high school
kids. This is how it begins.
I love all kids.
What happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
Somebody didn't celebrate a championship last night or recently. I don't know if it was last night. It was last night when it made the rounds. Go ahead, Chef.
Fill me in.
Okay,
what's
so
Mac
talking about? The video comes out yesterday that went pretty viral all over Twitter, all over Facebook, all over every social media site. And I don't know what state it was from, not that that's necessarily important, but teams are playing high school baseball for a spot in either a trip to the state, to the round of state, which sometimes is a round of four, state finals might have been around, whatever it is, a trip to state was on the line. And the video goes, a pitcher strikes out a batter looking to end the game. Team comes running onto the field to celebrate. Hey, we're going to the state championship. And they start running to the mound and all jumping on each other. The celebration that you're normally used to. Pitcher instead walks off the mound away from the celebration and goes, the batter, happened to be a kid that he grew up with, was very good friends with. And instead of celebrating with his team, he goes to the batter's box and he hugs the kid.
What a jerk.
Well, it's not being a jerk. But my thought was, like, and it comes from a weird perspective because growing up, I didn't play on different teams. Little League was one thing when you played against all your buddies because it was all like in a house league. But I never play against my friends from my youth because we all went to the same high school. We all played for the same team. So I didn't ever have that. I just know that if I lost a game, whether it was baseball, foot, whatever it was.
Here we go.
The last thing on earth I want is someone to come up from the opposing team and just be like, hey, man, here's a hug. Here's this. I don't want to talk to you. I hated handshake lines when I was a kid. Whether I won, whether I lost, it's like, okay, I want to celebrate with my team right now, or I want to sit and be furious at the world for 15 or 20 minutes with my teammates. I don't want to be this forced shake hands with people I'm never going to talk to or see again in my life. Like, I just didn't like that part of it. And so it's not that.
See again in your life? Little League with kids that are in your neighborhood? I'll never see these kids again in my life.
I'm talking about, like, I mean, any high school sport you played, it's okay getting the handshake line.
Oh, they still do handshake line
in
high school?
Yes, it's a forced handshake line. Well, all football games ends with the forced handshake line across the 50-yard line.
I've always said it's the best tradition in sports.
That's Mr. Hockey himself. That's what he tuned into Game 5 for the other night, not to see the cup raised for the handshake line. The excitement
there was a game played before it. I just saw the handshake line.
Lord Stanley's Cup.
Like, to me, and I guess credit to those kids, because I know myself, I would not want, I don't care if it's my best friend. One, if I'm the pitcher that strikes him out looking, I'm going to let him know about it for a long time. Text messages, everything else.
We've gotten to the crux of the issue here.
That's just the way my friends and I were.
Yeah, I know, but here's the key.
Any game that it was, you talk crap, and I have friends that would blow up my phone. Oh, talking crap from video games and other stupid crap from 20 years ago.
Wasn't the kid who was struck out crying, though?
No, it was just,
he was crying because he had Eric Gregg behind the plate. Yeah. Did you see that call?
I say, pitch was a foot and a half outside.
Was he crying?
Blue.
I thought he was crying.
I mean,
he needed consoling, and Shep is saying the pitcher did him a horrible disservice doing that.
If I was the batter, I wouldn't want to be consoled in that situation. If I'm getting consoled, I want somebody with the same color shirt as me.
Right, but you just spent the last 2 or 3 minutes talking this whole thing through about why you're so angry and why you hate sportsmanship and why you hate handshake.
I didn't say I hate sportsmanship.
He hates the handshake line.
I hate handshake line.
I hate forced sportsmanship,
yes.
Okay, but in all that long soliloquy, you said, well, I mean, I guess good for those kids, because I would not have been able to do that. That's why people like the video. Right there, you stumbled on it. That's why people like the video, because it's a fairly remarkable thing that when you have this accomplishment to win a state title and you strike out your best friend, you're not thinking about your accomplishment or your team's accomplishment. You are concerned over the friendship and the well-being of someone else.
Yeah, I'd also be wondering if I was a teammate of the pitcher, I'd be like, hey, you going to come celebrate with us, man?
They just won the state title. He did a strikeout. It's not like he took it easy on his friend and group.
Is the parade now? Can I go spend just a moment or two with my pally who needs a friend?
How about
right
the guys
now?
That you just played your entire spring with?
I get it. I sort of get it.
Like Alexander Ovechkin wins the Stanley Cup, and he's like, you know what? It really breaks my heart that Marc-Andre Fleury didn't win this one. I better go console him before I celebrate with my guys.
Shep 630 says, I remember Cole City always getting hugs from Wilmington. Comment?
Hugs? An ass-kicking was my 2 years of junior and senior year against Wilmington. I don't remember so much hugs.
Texter also points out, wasn't that the definition of unforced sportsmanship?
Yeah, it probably is. Like, but, it made me think of, like, handshake lines and that part of it. And I know that that's not how I would ever do it, and I would have no interest in doing it if I was either of the participants, winner or loser.
Did your demeanor change sport to sport?
No.
I guessed you would have been a little bit more emotional after football games.
I was thinking in terms of...
any sport. Baseball included.
I was thinking in terms of, like, team sports, yes. Like, track, it was... I was able to turn it off a lot quicker in track after, like, if you lose...
Well, it's an individual sport.
Sure.
Except for being a part of a relay team, and that's really not much of a team sport either.
Chef's favorite guy to celebrate with.
Loves singles tennis.
All right. I think the handshake line in hockey is overrated as well. I think it's important they all do it because it's tradition, and it shows a lack of sportsmanship to boycott it. Eddie Bell 4 years ago in a Hawks uniform. You want to make it more interesting? Mic it. I think people would love to hear what players say to each other, especially in the big games, conference finals and Stanley Cup final. But Shep's anger is interesting to me on many levels.
I just find it funny.
I mean, it's not like anger. It's just...
you're disgusted by it.
I'm not disgusted.
You can't relate to it, and you think it's going viral for no reason.
I do kind of look at it of like, yes, I just know that I would not have any interest in doing what either of those two guys did. And I think, like, people are like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And it's like, I guess it's a nice gesture, but...
I guess it's a nice gesture. Just keep Jimmy Fallon off my damn baseball field.
Keep Jimmy Fallon off my television, off my baseball field, off of everything, please.
Wow.
Texter writes in, what if they got Leonardo DiCaprio for Ted 3 and they recreated the scene in The Revenant where the bear tears him apart, but Ted is the bear in The Revenant?
I thought about Leo for my TED 3 cast. Thought about, because I love Leo. I've been on a Leo bender the last couple of years.
Who doesn't?
Watching Leo DiCaprio movies over and over again, including The Aviator.
I don't think they could get him.
Yeah. That's why I didn't put him in. I thought Jeremy Renner might like the role because he's good as a badass, too. He was a good badass in The Town, which is where many of us first discovered him. That was my first Jeremy Renner experience, The Town.
Yeah, me too.
And I could see him coming in the store and having a quarrel with something or somebody, and he and Ted get into it, and maybe Ted needs John to help him out.
All right, I just wanted to put a postscript on that one. And then do we think we've maybe stumbled upon a new idea? There's always a feel-good video on the internet. Shep, you know, just craps all over said feel-good video. I mean,
I like that.
Right? Like, where can he find his anger? We don't want it to be forced. But, you know,
the
dog walking with a slice of pizza, the troops coming home and surprising their kids at school. Like where can we find Shep to have irrational anger?
Well, you're not going to find me upset about a dog. You put a dog in a video, chances are I'm probably going to love it. So that's not going to work so much there. I guess the military ones, I'd be like, wouldn't you just like a moment with your son or your daughter that way? Do you have to do it in front of a crowd? Wouldn't you just like a personal moment with them? I could probably go down that avenue for you.
How about proposals at sporting events?
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I'm waiting for a woman to say, no, you cornball cheesy piece of crap. Why did you do this? No.
Get off Shep's lawn.
Yeah, no kidding.
This segment, by the way, brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you could save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. It's an anniversary from the Bulls' first title, but it's been the anniversary of their second three-peat. It was just yesterday. And Dennis Rodman is in the news for other reasons.
I love all of the above.
We have some all-time audio that you haven't heard. And we've built a little bit of a game around it for you because it is – you've been in this a long time. I would wager that this is among the most unpredictable audio that you've ever heard. So we've devised a game around that concept.
Okay.
And we're going to play it with you as our guinea pig coming up next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.